Well, good morning, everyone. It's so great to be here.
I felt warmly welcomed, at home, well taken care of, which is really kind of good for me because I'm the kind of person that, I can do it. I'll do it. I can do it. And it's really nice to be able to receive. So I want to thank everyone here for really supporting me in being able to share this teaching. So as you know, I am a senior teacher associated with Tara Mandala Retreat Center in Pagosa Springs. Practice Vajrayana Tibetan Buddhism. And I'm going to take a moment now to raise bodhicitta, to raise the intention for this talk. You can hold your hands in prayer, or as we do, a one-pointed mudra, middle fingers out, rest of the fingers folded down like an arrow, the arrow of our focus. But either way is acceptable. I want to begin by acknowledging the indigenous folk of this land, the Mohawk Confederacy, the Iroquois Confederacy. May their wisdom be present with us today. I also invoke and call in my ancestors, the ancestors of those who are present today, those who have helped us, because without them, we would not be here. And I honor and acknowledge and aspire that their wisdom will be present. I invoke all of the wisdom beings of all of the traditions represented here. May their wisdom be present. I acknowledge and honor all of the Dharma protectors, the Dharmapala, and the local protectors. May they continue to protect us as we walk our path. And connecting to my heart, I raise a heartfelt motivation that this talk will be a benefit to ourselves, to all beings everywhere without one exception. Amaho. Thank you. This weekend, I had the opportunity to share the Feeding Your Demons practice, which really is ancient wisdom for resolving inner conflict. Numbers of us learned the practice. Feeding Your Demons was developed by Lama Sultramalioni to help her students transform and address the underlying issues, conflicts, habitual behaviors that often get in the way. They get in the way of our everyday life. They get in the way and sometimes create obstacles for our even being able to practice, to deepen our practice. And FYD, as we call it, Feeding Your Demons, is a westernized version of the Tibetan Buddhist Chö practice. Chö was developed in Tibet by an 11th century Tibetan woman. This is highly unusual because most of the practices that come from Tibet have been developed or initiated by men. And for a while, women couldn't even be educated to read and write, just how it was. But Machik was born into a family that was pretty well off, and her parents were practitioners. And both her mother and father recognized at her birth that this was a special being. As in many Tibetan stories, she had certain marks. She had like a very, very tiny, looked like third eye here. Her fingers were webbed. She could read, and she learned to read very early. She would read the Prajnaparamita Sutra, which of course at one point was 8,000 lines, at another point was 25,000 lines. So wealthy people would hire her to come and read the sutra, primarily because there would be a generation of merit, and the more you could read a full sutra, the more merit could be generated, the more benefit could be gleaned. And she would read within her community and was known for this. Of course, as many of us, you know, sometimes you read something and you think you get it, you think you know it, particularly with Dharma, right? It's like, oh, nature of mind. All right, I get that. And I know I don't. I can't even explain it to somebody, right? So it's this way of like, oh. And at one point she was asked, do you really know what it means? And she recognized no. So she went on and she studied further. She became a nun, practicing. When she talks about demons, what are these things called demons? What they are not are Hollywood projections. What they are not really is something outside of ourselves. What Matchik says in her teachings is, what we call demons are not materially existing individuals with huge dark forms, frightening and terrifying anyone who sees them. A demon really refers to anything that hinders liberation. Usually anything in us that hinders liberation. We can often think, you know, it's so easy to other, right? It's like, it's your problem. It's, no, that's not my, if you would only be kinder, if you would only listen to me because you're the issue. No, you're not the issue. I'm the issue. And it's my issue. So chö and feeding your demons really helps us look at that in a healthy, transformative way. Demons are our fears, our negative self-talk, our illnesses, our perseverating thoughts. Down the rabbit hole I go. What are they doing? You know, things happen to us in life, but they operate to block us. They operate to create obstacles for feeling free. In ancient times, chö practitioners would travel from village to village and perform the chö ritual to heal humans and to heal animals. And yet, they did not become ill. Some of this is because the traditional chö practice is designed to help practitioners cut through ego clinging, cut through ego fixation, cut through the concepts we hold that this vehicle I'm traveling in is the real deal. If we hold the view in Buddhism, this is not the real deal. This is an illusion. Emptiness, luminosity is the absolute. But again, we're in 3D reality, so it makes it a little difficult to lean into that all the time. Hence, we practice. Right? We keep diving deeper and deeper and deeper. So chö practitioners, in some ways as they practice, there would be nothing for an illness to hold on to. The word chö means to sever. So the whole process is to continue to cut through the fear of what might be here, the fear of failure, the fear of this energy that might be lurking behind me. It doesn't exist in and of itself. Sure, it's a practice that keeps reminding us about that. Sometimes in the West, We often think that anything that's negative needs to be defeated. We should conquer it. Like, you know, people say you need to conquer your fears, crush them, cut them out, destroy them. And in some ways, you know, that is problematic. It's problematic because often we can't stuff them in a drawer enough so that they don't come out, right? Maybe we do conquer them for a moment, but then there's a little bit that peeks out from the side. So we're taught to fight, we're taught to conquer. The teachings of Majig shift that in terms of, you know, shifting the paradigm. Majig's teachings offer us another option. They do show us that when you offer anything exactly what it needs, it relaxes. So in the West, we say, oh my gosh, if you feed a negative feeling, it's just going to grow. Well, maybe you're not feeding it the right diet. Because in actuality, if you offer something to someone that they truly need at the core of their being, whatever tensions they might be walking with, whatever aggressions they might manifest, that just relaxes. Because it fits. Because it integrates. Because what was two parts becomes whole. Majig, again, her gift to us, feed, not fight. In terms of this idea, where did she come up with this, right? I mean, she grew up in a world where people were warriors, where people were fighting, even practicing the Dharma. So we know that she could read Prajnaparamita Sutra. She became a nun. She studied with many lamas. And there was a moment, some of you have heard this, where she was receiving a very secret initiation. And in this initiation, as the Lama was reading the text, Majig levitates from her cushion. And actually she does a little, what they call a Dakini dance, where she like moves left foot raised, right foot raised, left foot raised, dancing between samsara and nirvana. And then she floats through the wall of the gompa. Now, some of you are like, well, that's a pretty fantastic trick. But in ancient Tibet, people could do these kinds of things. Right? They manifested the cities. So off, but we could say that she was so deep in meditation that she was tapping in to absolute reality. She floats out and lands in a tree. This tree is located by this lake. The lake is ruled by a very fierce, angry, frightening Naga, this water spirit. People would walk far away. They wouldn't walk near this. He was so terrifying. She lands in his tree in meditative equipoise. And of course, he's like, well, who the heck is this? What? How dare she? And he rises up and comes at her to attack her. And she remains in meditative equipoise, communicating, take what you need, do what you will. He's like, well, maybe she really doesn't know who I am. So he conjures up his minions. So we have big Nagas, little Nagas coming at her, right? She remains in meditative equipoise, communicating. Take what you need. No fear, no doubt. Just in the true nature. In the moment when he attacks her the second time, he is transformed and commits himself to protecting the Dharma and protecting Dharma practitioners. And in Tibet, there are numbers of stories about these demons, these manifestations of beings that are doing harm to many, many people. And they're pretty arrogant in the idea that, I am the baddest, I am the biggest, I am the meanest, and nobody can stop me. Nobody, not over here, not over there, nobody can stop me. And they have pride in how many people they have harmed. Well, there's a story about a protector, Mahakala, who was really so, creating so much negative karma, that Tara and Avalokiteshvara come together and really have a conversation. Could you please stop? And he's like, laughs. You can't make me stop. What do they do? Do they annihilate him? Absolutely not. What they do is they offer him compassion and in fact flood his heart with compassion to the point where he suddenly experiences regret for all of his transgressions and then dedicates his life to protecting practitioners and the Dharma. So we have a lot of themes of this transformation of something that might be experienced as negative into something that becomes a support, that becomes an ally. Feeding your demons operates in that way. I'm going to ask you to just for a moment think about a time when you were really thirsty. I mean, really thirsty. To the point that all you could focus on was getting a cool drink to quench your thirst. And maybe you had tasks to do. Maybe you were writing a Dharma talk. Maybe you were ready to practice. But how could you do that? Because all you needed was a drink of water. So you can feel the tension. You can feel the, I have to have it. Can I get it? And then what happens when you take that first sip? The first sip goes in your mouth. You feel the cool water on your tongue. You feel the water going down your throat. And sometimes what happens is your body begins to relax. That's what happens in the feeding your demons process. The inner tension, our conflicts through that process get transformed and we can be more at ease, more open, maybe even feeling a little bit of liberation, a little bit of expansiveness, freedom, opening. And so this ancient practice, Chö, is the root of feeding your demons. That we get to look at what blocks us. We feed it what it really needs through a process that combines Buddhist practice and Western psychology. And we discover an ally. Sometimes whatever issue or demon we're working with is directly connected to the ally. We can see the relationship. Sometimes we don't. But often in our life, having an ally is so useful. It's like when we find the right teacher for ourselves, right? That the right teacher for me, in some instances, I can just relax a little bit. Again, that fit. Feeding your demons encourages us to integrate the parts of ourselves that we have cast off, that we've turned our back on, that we've denied. And what do they want? They want some attention. They want some love. They need some compassion. Or how else will we integrate that? And so feeding your demons really helps us relax the inner tension that we experience when we live in dualism, like hopes and fears. I hope I'll be able to get home safely. I'm afraid I might be in an accident. I hope, you know, think about how often you may be living between hope and fear, right? You know, I hope that I'll be able to sit through meditation still and drop in. I'm afraid I'm not going to. I'm afraid my discursive thoughts are going to take over. I mean, all of those ways in which we're like in between, and the tension. Feeding your demons helps us relax that. Many benefits of this practice to support us on the path, but also to help us in our life. So we know, relaxing that inner tension. And as I said, on a psychological level, can foster this integration of the parts of ourselves that we are rejecting, which might be functioning as obstacles. Self-doubt. I have that one, big time. You know, no matter how many times I've done something, it's like, oh my gosh, is the teaching going to be good enough? Am I going to cover everything that needs to be covered? You know, oh no, you can't do that. Quiet. Well, I can't just quiet it. What would be great is if I said, what is it you truly need? How would you feel if you get what you truly need? And answer may be, I'd feel secure. Okay. In a feeding your demons practice, I would offer security. And I don't have to worry about what that might look like. So psychologically, we can actually have integration. On a spiritual level, feeding your demons does help us remove obstacles to our practice. It can definitely foster a deepening of our meditation practices. It can help us manifest a form of fierce compassion in the world. And boy, do we need fierce compassion right now. The compassion that holds the line. The compassion that goes into any area. There was a time that I used to think that green Tara was just soft. You know, compassion is sweet. Compassion, there she sits, looking so lovely. Until I recognized that Tara will go anywhere where beings are suffering. Into the bellies of the world. I was like, wow, that takes some courage. That, you know, it's like, oh no, there's strength here, there's power in compassion. So feeding your demons can help us manifest that right now for the benefit of others. When we step on the Buddhist path, being a Buddhist requires courage. It requires a steadfastness. It requires the ability to look at suffering. No, don't turn away. Look. Look at it. Witness it. And then maybe you can offer something that could shift it, that could lessen it. Because we are practicing for the benefit of ourselves. And the benefit of all sentient beings. That's a big task. I mean, I think about, you know, in my practice, and often in my practices, it says, I single-handedly. It's like, whoa, I don't know if I can do that. And I said, yes, I do that every time I practice. So this interconnecting, this interrelatedness. Again, feeding your demons allows us to transform something that is an obstacle into something that is a support. From demon to ally. And the allies actually are our own innate wisdom. Our own inner knowing. How wonderful that we can access that. Feeding your demons reminds us that we have the capacity to be our own allies. It helps us move away from obscurations, drop the veil of ignorance, and just rest in our true nature. Our true nature, luminous, shining in the 10 directions, connected to everything and everyone. One taste, as we say. So again, feed, not fight. Paying attention and caring for the parts of us that we discarded. Nobody likes to be discarded. We don't like to be rejected. And think about, well, why might I be doing that to myself? Why is that happening in my psyche? Maybe I could just be with what is for a little bit. Look at it. And then ask or see what it truly needs. We can think of feeding your demons practice as transforming obstacles into opportunities. You know, and sometimes I'm like, oh, come on, an obstacle into an opportunity. That feels like a reach. I'm kind of tired, you know, come on. Opportunities to practice. It's like, Well, sometimes my practice doesn't feel like an opportunity. No, to be transparent, it's like, all right, I have to. And yet, often, actually always, there's benefit, right? But we get to remove those. It's like sweeping. Sweep out the dust. And then you can see the floor. How clear it is. Feeding your demons practice helps us enhance our bodhicitta. It helps us in terms of walking the bodhisattva path. Bodhicitta, awakened mind, right? Awakened heart mind. That space where we hold our compassion. And in these chaotic, troubling times, we want to be able to really call in our bodhicitta. We want to actually even maybe manifest radical bodhicitta. Take it out, take the aspiration for all beings to not be in suffering. Take it out into the world, which many of us do, right? But we need fierce compassion now. We need to look. We sometimes need to say, something's wrong here. This should not happen. So the feeding your demons practice can clear out what might get in the way of our walking with our aspirational bodhicitta into the bodhicitta of action. Feeding your demons cuts through spiritual bypass. No spiritual bypass here. There's no time for denial. And we all know you can't meet anger and aggression with anger and aggression. And yet, how long have humans been doing that? Machig offers another option. Each time we practice, we meet ourselves. It can be really beneficial to access some of what we refer to as skillful means, the technology, our practices that help us to reach in or touch into the wisdom that is available, to the wisdom that's right here, wherever here is. When we practice, we often do meet what Machig would refer to as maras, these demons, these obstacles. And we also experience wisdom. When we truly face our inner shadow, maras or demons, when we stare directly into the face of what haunts us, when we do not look away, resist, or aggress we can see clearly, that pristine clarity. It's like turning on the light, Dharma, in a dark room, samsara. All is dissolved in Dharma into the ground of being. There's no need to be afraid. There's no need to run to a protected space. When we embrace our shadow, when we embrace the ego-clinging, self-clinging, we can lose the distinctions between others and ourselves. We then have the opportunity to create a new relationship with others and with phenomena. At that moment of recognition, we are better able to rest in equanimity. Machig Lobdron and Lama Soltramalioni have gifted us powerful and immediate methods to identify and transform these obstacles, these things that plague us, these things that block our freedom and liberation. Feeding your demons provides a method for meeting the muck of our inner lives and transforming that into the lotus we truly are. Through feeding your demons and transforming what blocks us into what supports our liberation, and this quote comes directly from the Chö practice, we are victorious in all directions, so that whomever we meet will be benefited. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about ZMM's programs, retreats, and residency, please visit us online at zmm.org.